Welcome to Revival for Mission. You know those Christians that keep coming to people all over the place trying to share their faith? Well, we found one of those people with great stories of lives change. His name is Pastor Dan Cerns, right here on Revival for Mission. Elder Wilson, some have said that faith is always personal, but it should never be private. Do you agree with that? Should we be bothering people with our faith and trying to bring to them a new understanding of the world, or should we just leave them to it?
I'll give you a real short answer. It is of eternal worth that you share with someone your personal relationship with Christ and how they can have it, because it may mean their eternal destiny. You can do this in a way that doesn't offend people. Never should a Christian offend somebody by trying to witness. Don't badger people. Don't lecture them. Don't hit them over the head with certain things. Love them and show them real concern. You know what? Eventually, for the most part, they're going to thank you for that.
Let me share you a quick story that I've experienced recently. I normally travel alone. In a recent trip, my mother was with me. And she's always telling everybody and giving literature. And
she's
very
a great
open.
Lady. I've met her.
You've met her. You know her. So we are in this plane, and she sits I'm sitting next to her, and next to my mom on the other side sits this woman who starts chatting to her. And she found somebody who was open to a conversation about God. And normally, I'm an extrovert, and I don't get embarrassed easily. Except that when the plane was taxiing, ready to go, my mom grabs her hand and my hand and starts praying loudly, "Dear God, please be with us as we fly." And I realized then I still have some embarrassment left in me. And I thought, why? Why do I feel this way? As I noticed my cheek going red, and I didn't expect that to happen, yet it did. So here is what happened. When the plane landed, a few people came to my mom and thanked her for the prayer.
Amen.
They said, "Thank you for praying. I felt much better as you went forward."
Beautiful.
It's incredible that we are so private and we keep everything to ourselves so many times that the people who need this hope may be right next to us and they don't get to see it. They don't get to experience that faith. Why don't you share some thoughts of Scripture about this?
Friends, did you know that God has a very special calling for you? We're told in 2 Corinthians 5:20, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." What a calling this is, to be an ambassador for Christ, to be able to plead with others on His behalf. This is not only an honor, it is a very important responsibility. So many people today don't really know who God is. Some believe He is a distant person far away. Others perceive Him to be an unbearable tyrant waiting to strike. Still others think He doesn't exist at all. That's why we are called to be ambassadors for Him, to be witnesses of what He has done in our lives, to share how He has answered our prayers, and to encourage others to taste and see for themselves that He is good. One example we find in the Bible is Andrew. It seems that whenever we read about Andrew, he's always bringing people to Jesus. For example, in John chapter 12, beginning in verse 20, we read about the Greeks who had come to worship. They wanted to see Jesus. Philip found them and brought them to Andrew. Then together they brought them to Jesus. Another example is the woman at the well, described in John chapter 4, verses 39 to 42. After meeting Jesus, she ran back to her village to tell everyone about the incredible Savior. After meeting Him for themselves, they testified, "Now we believe, For we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. Friends, you and I can be ambassadors for Christ. Let's accept that commission today, and through the power of his power, let the world know about him today.
I know I'm looking for something, but what? Peace? Purpose? Meaning? I'm still not sure. But I know it's going to take faith.
Welcome back to Revival for Mission. We're here with Pastor Dan Cerns from Texas. Now, Pastor, a lot of people struggle at home by themselves with whatever crisis they find themselves in. And people don't go to the office anymore to say to others, hey, I'm struggling at home. Can you help me? Or what does your church say about? But they're at home and they're struggling. And you believe that we should be there knocking on their door and interacting with them. Tell us more about this ministry.
Well, not just going to their home, but wherever we go, we can pass literature to people. We can be a light wherever we go, whether it's to their door or when we're traveling in the airport, in the supermarket, restaurants, wherever we go, we can be a light for the Lord.
Tell us more. What kind of thing do you do in the GLOW tracks, and why are they called GLOW tracks in the first place?
GLOW stands for Giving Light to Our World. And these are little papers that have some powerful Bible truth. Here's one called A Love Letter from Jesus. And I'll just give you an example. There's a lady in the church that I pastored there in Richardson, Texas, and she had picked up some of those from the table in the lobby after church, and she had them in her purse. She was in a mall, and it was in the food court, and it was a time when not very many people were shopping there, and they were giving out these little samples.
Beautiful.
And she thought, well, if they're giving samples, I can give samples. So she reached in her pocket and went around to the food court workers and said, here's something to brighten your day. She handed this particular title to one of the food court workers. She read A Love Letter from Jesus, and she began crying. She says, I need to take a break right now and talk to you. And she told Juanita, she said, they're about to take away my children, Child Protective Services. I can't get over drugs. Last night, I told God, if you exist, send somebody to me because I'd rather die before I watch my kids being taken away. So please help me. And so Juanita prayed with a lady there. She got her in touch with a women's ministry. They befriended her. 9 months later, I baptized that food court worker.
Praise God.
All started with somebody giving that particular title to a food court worker.
That's amazing.
A love letter from Jesus. Yeah. Now, Pastor Cerns, tell us, I mean, you've already kind of intimated it. I mean, this is, you're excited about it. We're excited. I use tracks, you know, to share with people and all this kind of thing. But tell us why this ministry is so important.
Okay. Well, yes, I had heard many years ago when I was a kid growing up about HMS Richard Sr. He was a great evangelist. He had a literature pocket, and he always said to have literature available. And I thought, well, that's nice for him. So I had some in my glove compartment and other places that I'd go. But one day, one Friday afternoon, I was filling up my car with gasoline. This is back in the days where you couldn't pay at the pump. And as I was filling it up with gasoline, here came a kid about 18 years old in his brand new sports car. Mm-hmm. And he drives it in, and he gets out, and he closes the door gently. And then he opens up the gas place, and you can tell that's his baby right there. And he's filling it up with gas. And right there, while I'm filling up my car with gas, here comes a pickup truck squealing tires into that parking lot. A guy about the same age jumps out and starts yelling foul language at this other kid walking toward him with something behind his back. And I'm standing there thinking, what's going to happen now? And I just said, Lord, what would you want me to do? And it was just the most distinct impression.
give them some literature.
Wow.
And I thought, that can't be God. This is too far. They're about to kill each other, and why would... And I just said, Lord, really, what would you want me to do? And that distinct impression, stronger, give them some literature. Well, this is before I'd carry it close to me. I had it in the glove compartment.
Yeah.
So I went around, and I just grabbed some without looking at titles or anything, and I walk over, and by this time, they're right in each other's face.
My.
And they're yelling, and the one guy still has something behind his back. The guy who had been pumping gas is kind of positioned like he's going to use that gas nozzle to... And I walk up to him, and I said, hi. And they both look at me like, who in the world are you, and what are you doing here?
Why are you interrupting?
Yeah, and I said, here's something each of you need.
Isn't it?
And I handed a piece, and this is back a little thing called an hour with your Bible before
yep.
Glotrax.
I still use them.
Okay. and I handed it one to each one, and they looked at me, and they looked at the title, and then I looked at the title, and it said, What Happens After Death? And I said, I hope you don't find out too soon. And the one guy turned around, walked back to his truck.
Amazing.
And the other guy just kept pumping. And then I went in to pay, and inside was this girl about the same age, and her eyes, she'd been watching the whole thing. Maybe they were fighting over her. I have no idea. And she said, What did you say? And I said, I can't explain it, but just take this. And I gave her some literature too. But it was at that moment and afterwards where I began realizing that was a divine appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And in the book of Acts, we read all about divine appointments.
It was the Holy Spirit impressing you to do that, even though you thought it was out of context.
Yes, yes, yes. And when you look at the book of Acts, you have all these divine appointments that are happening, not just by apostles, but by Deacon Philip and some guy in Ananias up in Damascus we've never heard of before. And you just think, can I ever have any of those divine appointments? And I began realizing, God is giving me and every believer divine appointments every single day, but we miss almost all of them.
Yes.
And literature is one simple way for God to help us identify a divine appointment, because a divine appointment happens when you have somebody who is looking to know Jesus, or at least their Creator, better, and wanting to know what Bible truth or truth is, and somebody who loves the Lord and loves Bible truth, and the Lord is trying to bring them together, and literature helps me and can help any believer identify when that's happening. You give out a lot of literature, but when that happens, you know God's brought, like Juanita and that food court worker.
Now, you are a great proponent, I can tell, of what we could term the dedicated pocket.
Yes.
That... You want to have literature available so you can share with someone.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm going to put you on the spot again, and the Holy Spirit will help you.
Mm-hmm.
You've shared an amazing illustration. Do you have another experience that you want to share about people simply using literature, timid as they may be? And then we're going to get also into the aspect of, well, can anybody do this? I mean, you know, all that kind of thing, or you have to be trained in a special.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have another experience that could make our viewers understand this is really practical stuff and I can do that?
I have more stories than we have time for, but I just brought a few more titles.
Great.
Okay. So a couple of years ago, my wife and I were up in the Washington, D.C. area here for some meetings. And we like to go walking in our neighborhood in the morning, but we were away from our neighborhood, so we're walking in the hotel parking lot. And usually when I have my walking clothes, have Glotrax in them, in my pocket, and wherever I go, and I usually I'll have two titles, one in the front and one in the back, so I pull it off, because that means I have twice as much chance to find what their need is. And so I
and you give them both?
I give both. Two titles.
Okay.
Two titles to everybody.
I see.
And so as we walked around, here was a guy sitting in a big new red truck, just sitting there. And as we were walking by, I saw him. I said, hi. And he said, and he just kind of nodded. So I walked over and I said, here's something to brighten your day.
Mm-hmm.
And I handed him one of these.
Mm-hmm.
Am I good enough?
Mm-hmm.
And another one.
Mm-hmm.
I had not picked them. Some people say, do you have to pick certain ones? No, God will set that up.
Mm-hmm.
So I just handed those two to him and I said, have a wonderful day and God bless you. And I went on my way. The next morning, we're walking in the same parking lot. There's the same red truck and the same guy. Mm. But I didn't have any new titles. I had the same title, so I just walked by and I said, hi, how are you? And as we walked by, he backed out his truck and he pulled up alongside and he said, can I talk to you?
Huh.
I've been waiting to see if you'd be out here again today.
My, isn't that
this
amazing?
Is just two years ago here. And I said, well, sure. And he said, that paper, Am I Good Enough, told my story. Mm. He said it told about a man who'd grown up a Christian, but his wife left him, mine left me 15 years ago for another man, and his life went into a spiritual spiral. That's me. And then it got worse and worse and worse. And then I had a dream that Jesus came back and I wasn't ready. And the next morning was yesterday, and you handed me that paper with my story in it.
Amazing. Wow. Amazing.
And so I spent a little time right there, sure, just kind of coaching him and how to get back with God and get into the Word and to find godly people who could encourage him. It was just, now that was obviously a providential appointment. I give out about 200 or 300 Glotrax to have one of those experiences.
I think the point that you're making is that if God wants to communicate with somebody, mm-hmm, one of us are going to have to move.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
That's the point. And God sends you at that moment to speak to a specific person, and you have no idea how this is going to work. You just keep doing what you're doing.
That's
right. And God is exposing people to himself through you. That's absolutely beautiful.
That's right. And part of it is and there are a lot of people who want to do it. You talked about the dedicated pocket, mm-hmm, and that's good, but that's a little bit more ready to respond for a specific need. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about how God, I think, wants to flip that around where we're more like that,
yeah,
where we're in the habit of breathing out light, you know, these. And when that happens, we have more experiences. I'll tell you one more here.
Sure, okay. Sure.
So I was in I got a ticket. You know, I'm a human being. I got a ticket. Can dead people talk? Mm. And I go to the municipal court, and I'm standing there in line just thinking, oh boy, now I got to pay some money and takes extra time and all the rest. And it was like the Holy Spirit said, why are you complaining? You've got people around you and you've got Glotrax on you. Mm-hmm. Why should you ever complain? And so I just had a couple titles. One of them happened to be this one. And here's a young lady, you know, she probably gotten her driver's license a year or two before.
Yep.
And so she's standing in line. I said, so you got a ticket too? And, yeah, yeah. And I can't afford it. I said, I know, it's a bummer, isn't it? And I said, but here's something to brighten your day anyway. And she took the papers, uh-huh, and she was right in front of me. And so we didn't talk a lot more, but the line wound down. We went. Paid, she paid and went out, and then I paid, and then went out to the car, and just as I was getting to the car, she'd been waiting in the parking lot.
Yes.
And
wow.
She said, thank you so much for this. Mm. She said, 5 months ago, my mother died, mm, and I have friends telling me that my mother wants to talk to me. Mm. And I'm not, it seems weird and uncomfortable, but I miss my mom, and so I'm wondering what to do, and you gave me this paper on Can Dead People Talk, and it helps me know what to do and what not to do.
Praise the Lord.
And I just think, what if I amazing. Just stood in that line doing my usual complaining?
You're Pastor, right. Let me ask you a difficult question. Yeah. How many of these do you need to distribute for each story that you're telling?
Probably 300 to 500.
So 300 to 500 moments that you give this to somebody.
Yeah.
And you begin to get those stories that you can tell for the rest of your life.
Yes, yes,
but
yes.
What does it take to do it? Because it seems, mm-hmm, like it's difficult to come to a stranger,
yes,
and to give out literature, especially,
yes,
religious literature.
I mean, do you, yes, have to be an outgoing person and you have to have special training or?
No, not at all.
What do you do?
Not at all. You know, we all have a comfort zone. And we're comfortable doing things in that comfort zone. Whenever we step out of that comfort zone, two things happen. One is we have terrible anxiety. And the second is our comfort zone enlarges a little bit.
Sure.
So I've done this so much, my comfort zone's all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But for a person who is scared to death, we encourage them to start with chicken witnessing.
Uh-huh.
That's where they go into they go into a public restroom, make sure nobody's watching, and then they leave some on the counter and they leave. Right. And they say, Lord, give that to the right people. And so we encourage people to do that. And so we get stories back. One guy told us, he says, we're in Texas. Mm-hmm. I went in to buy some cowboy boots at Cavender's Boot City. And I looked at those rows and rows of boots, and I said, they need something eternal value to go with that. So I started dropping some in each boot. And somebody else said, well, they went in through the suit store, and they put some.
Oh, yeah.
Now, I don't encourage all of these things, but somebody said, I went into the grocery store, and here's all this alcohol at holidays, and it just bothered me. And I said, why do they do that? And then I remember I had some glow tracks. If they're going to buy alcohol, they need to have something good to read before they drink it. Mm-hmm. So start with chicken witnessing. And I remember in my church, I had a very sophisticated businessman. And this whole thing about literature was for, you know, that's not him. He's sophisticated. But I pastored that church for 6 years, a little over 6 years. And about the fifth year in, he came up to me one day and he said, you know, Pastor, I gave out my first glow tracks.
Wow, yes.
And I said, give me five. And he goes,
yeah.
And I said, tell me about it. And he said, well, I get all these solicitations for credit cards and it has business replies, so you don't have to pay for postage. And I thought, there's bound to be a secretary that might be blessed by some of those glow tracks. So I stuck it in and sent it back.
Sure.
And I said, give me another five. Keep doing it. And, you know, what we would do is we would put out a mountain of these unopened packs. And by the way, here's your 100.
Oh, thank you.
And here's your 100.
thank you.
Hope in troubled times.
Yes.
And you can live forever. And mm-hmm. what I'd encourage you to do right now is take about half of those and give them to each other. Mm-hmm. So you have two titles that you can take one off the front and one off the back and hand it to somebody.
There you go.
And then the challenge is in the next 30 days to try to get out to 50 people, two each. And go from there. So start with chicken witnessing if you can't do anything else. And if you're going to hand them out in person, keep what you say very short. Just very short.
You're right.
Just say, here's something to brighten your day. And a lot of people say, I needed that.
Yeah.
Or another thing is say, check this out. And if somebody says, what is it? Say, look at it. And if you like it, pass it on. And if you don't, you can toss it. Well, that's fair enough. Or in an airport, I just say, here. And somebody said, well, what does security say? And I said, they say the same thing everybody else says. They say, thank you.
Yes.
Give it to them, too.
You know, I travel a lot, and I share it with, like, an agent that is checking me in or whatever.
Yes.
And I say, you know, when things die down, here's something good to read.
Yes.
Almost invariably, people will say thank you. I'm finding that people are more and more apt to receive things today because people recognize they need spiritual hope.
That's so true. That is so true.
Now, just in the last few moments, and then Pastor Sam's going to wrap things up, but how can somebody actually access some of these materials and actually get involved?
Yes. first of all, if your church has them on a table, a mountain or table, whatever, that's the best. And if you're a church leader, get those out there for people. We put them out one time a month, and people could take a whole pack of 100 and they could divide them and go from there. If you don't have access to that, you can go to glowonline.org.
Great.
And you can read them in advance. You can order a pack of 100 or several packs. Or you can go to AdventistBookCenter.com and glow tracks or signs, pocket signs, they call them. There are a variety of them there. And you just get them and give them. And it's a simple thing.
Get them and give them. That's good.
Pastor, this one that you talked about, the love letter from Jesus, it starts with, I love you so much. You are so precious and valuable to me. And if God wants to say this to somebody, it will take one of us communicating that to them.
Yes.
Thank you so much for everything that you do.
Amen.
Thank you for inspiring many people to keep doing this.
And us.
And us, including us. We got the challenge. And thank you for being here with us today.
Oh, it's been a privilege, a blessing.
We have looked at these glow tracks. If you want to have copies of this, go to revivalformission.tv. All the links will be there. In a few moments, we'll have some thoughts from Elder Wilson from Scripture regarding this. Don't go away.
Join Pastor Ted Wilson as he travels around the globe visiting amazing places and meeting incredible people who are impacting their world for Jesus. From remote villages to bustling cities, mountains to deserts, ancient vistas to recent revitalization, you won't want to miss these special field episodes of Revival for Mission on the final Friday of each month, right here on Hope Channel.
Welcome back to Revival for Mission. Before our final thoughts, we have a couple of questions to our guests. Now, question number one. If you are not doing anything at the moment and you don't like distributing literature, what are other ways you've seen that you can share your faith?
Well, you know, everybody has different spiritual gifts, and we need to find what we love to do and use it to bless other people. But what I found is that there are four things that everybody, no matter what their spiritual gifts are, can be. Everyone can be a prayer warrior. We can be praying for specific people to make specific decisions for the Lord by a specific time frame. Everybody can be a GLOW missionary, even if they're a chicken witnesser. Mm-hmm. Everybody can be a home of hope. If they live in a mansion or if they're living in their car, they can say, by God's grace, this is going to be a light for this community. I'm going to pray for these people. I'm going to share kindness to them in some way. And I'm going to brighten their day by saying, have a great day and God bless you. And seeing in our own home, we open up our home on Tuesday nights for family worship for our community. 1 hour, 7 to 8 p.m., songs, reading from the Bible, prayer. And it's amazing how many neighbors have started to come when they know it's informal, and it's just a wonderful thing. And then the fourth thing everybody can be is a baptism coach. Mm. To have a simple plan to see people who want to move forward with the Lord, 8-week plan to help them prepare for baptism.
One final quick question. Mm-hmm. We're in total member involvement, yes. Everybody doing something for Jesus. Name one thing that somebody can do that's so easy and it'll impact people.
Well, I think if you can't do anything else, you can smile and you can say, God bless you, and you can look for a way to bless them. You can try to bless people each week. You can listen well to people. People aren't listening very well these days. You can eat with people. You can study your own Bible and for seeking Jesus and Bible study and prayer, and find a small group that'll encourage you.
Beautiful. And give out a tract.
That's right.
Pastor Wilson, why don't you give us some final thoughts on this subject?
Friends, what an inspiring program we have had. If you'd like to learn more about how you can become an ambassador for Christ, I invite you to visit revivalformission.tv today. And we'll see you next time right here on Revival for Mission.